separate from the philosophical issue of that, what Jeremy was wrapping up with was talking about how do we independently verify, you know, whether God is good in this or that respect. But from a psychological point of view, of course, what's also interesting is what people perceive God to be and whether that affects their behavior. If I think God has certain qualities or whatnot, does it affect my take on how I should act or what I consider moral or not? There was actually an interesting study that was done with looking at differences in people's views of right or wrong moral judgments as a function of whether they view God in terms of being, let's say, an abstract principle like omnipresent, omnipotence, omniscience, the theistic type God, as opposed to viewing God as being a anthropomorphic-like person-like agent, mm-hmm. whether God has qualities of being, you know, kind or wrathful or you know, whether he thinks about things. And he even
is one of those words.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Most people – for many people, those things overlap, or that, or at least theologically, you're instructed that they should overlap. Mm-hmm. You are taught what God's properties should be, and you're also taught through Bible stories and such that he has certain – you know, he's a moody guy. He's wrathful. He's caring. He's loving, whatever. He's person-like. So those two things are often – many people would say, well, those coincide. But when you actually survey people about listing how much do you believe God is this versus that, there's some wiggle room between the two, or there's some daylight. Right. Some people lean more towards God as being a theistic being with those qualities of omniscience or whatnot. But some people conceptualize God in a very person-like agent. In fact, we've one concrete example of that in the show is that of Tanya Luhrmann's book on God Talks Back, When God Talks Back, when Jeremy and I interviewed her, she talked about the renewalists who are like very high in the person-like God dimension. They chat with him about mundane stuff throughout the day. I feel
like if God were a person, he would not be the kind of person you'd want to hang out with.
No, they talk to him about, what should I buy at the store? Or they set out coffee in the morning for God and have God chats. That's a very anthropomorphic type view of conceptualizing. And so they might theologically think, yes, he's omnipotent or he knows everything. But the way they're treating them on a day-to-day basis is very anthropomorphic.
He's a friend. He's a trusted advisor.
Yeah. So like on our last podcast, we covered things like how your view of things like the person's agents, the agency as opposed to like a moral action versus a moral victim affects your view of, God as somebody who's all action and not a victim. But in this sense, what this study looked at, the authors here were Morowidge and Clear. The title is Anthropomorphic God Concepts Engender Moral Judgment. Mm. Just like last week, we talked about that it sort of compels your view of morality to have a certain view of whether the person is an actor or a victim. In this case, what they found was that your view of God compels a certain view of morality. So what they did was that they cross-referenced, like I said, the degree to which you view God as being a theological concept, abstract, philosophical qualities, as opposed to anthropomorphic, caring, wrathful, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they had them say to what extent the actions that are forbidden by things like the Ten Commandments, so adultery, blaspheming, lying, are they theologically wrong, that is wrong in the sense of religious rules, or are they morally wrong in just a general sense, that is like a church rule, don't go to church on Sunday you shouldn't work. That's a theological rule, but a lot of people would make a distinction between that and like a general moral rule. Mm-hmm. That is, they wouldn't say that, they would say that's the rule of my church that doesn't happen to be a property of the universe that you have to do, everybody has to do blah, blah, blah on Sundays. And so what they did was that they had the people judge various acts about whether they thought that they were just religiously wrong as opposed to wrong in general, like even in a secular sense. And what they found was that the degree to which you thought that God was more of an anthropomorphic, person-like agent, that broadened your view of acts like that we would say they don't really hurt anybody, they're just a religious rule, that the people actually expanded those to be generally morally wrong the more they thought of God as a person-like agent. So another way to put that would be if you have a commandment or something of a human-like God, not just a philosophical concept, they're not just perceived as like a code of conduct, but rather those sorts of moral transgressions are in an individual contract sense. That is, you might have heard before about some work on morality where when somebody conceptualizes an interaction in social terms, they act somewhat differently than if they think they're, for example, playing with a computer. Or it's like, you know, so like some of these studies like on economic games, if you're given an offer, like the computer gets $10, he's going to offer you $1. Do you want to take it or do you want to veto the whole thing? People take the money if it's a computer because, hey, a dollar's a dollar, right, even though it's chump change. But if you think that you're playing a person in that game, people get indignant when the offer is too small. That is, if it's Dave's in another room, he just got $10. He's offering you $2. Do you want to take the offer or avoid it for everybody? People say, screw you, man. I'm not going to even though they would benefit. Even though they would
benefit, they'll gladly punish themselves to shaft the other person as well.
Yeah, so that shows that there's a certain mode or module that you get into where it's not just an economic abstract numbers. If you think that you're in a social situation, you have emotions like indignancy, teaching the guy a lesson, blah blah blah. That make it your reactions are different. Well, this study shows that it's like that with God too. If it would just be a moral abstract law on a tablet somewhere, people might have certain notions about, well, some of these are more important than others. The killing part's
important.
Some of
this cultural stuff, some of it's
maybe not the Sabbath,
historic context.
Honor the parents, you can take that or leave it. But if you view God as being a guy that you just made a promise to, that is, your mind is interacting with that person as another individual, you take those things much more seriously, even the ones that we would say would be sort of ridiculous or not harmful.
Yeah. You know, so if Jesus is your buddy, you're going to follow what he says.
Because,
or what you think
because
he
in,
says
that,
much more
in that case, disobeying something is violating a relationship that you have with the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that fact, another study you guys might be familiar with that showed this principle was Don Ariely. He wrote a book called Predictably Irrational. Mm-hmm. He cited some studies like in Israel where people had their kids in daycare and they kept showing up late a lot of the time. And so the daycare providers were like, oh, these parents coming by, they should have picked their kids up 10 minutes ago. Let's make a fine system. And we'll put a monetary value on if you are half an hour late.
This.
We'll dock you, you know, $10 or something like that. What they found was that the violations, the parents being late, increased after they put a monetary value as opposed
they're
to
like,
what it was
before. I just pay an extra $10 and I – yeah, sure,
so
whatever.
His explanation, and there's other studies like this, show that you took something of what before was like an embarrassment. Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. You were hurting a person to now you've monetarized it and the person were like, oh, all they're going to do is find me $10.
Yeah.
I'll take my time.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have to skip this errand because it's just going to be $5. It's going to be cheaper for me to do this and be late.
Exactly. So the moral standards became more lax when they monetarized it because it took it out of the social system. But people actually watch their P's and Q's a bit more if you are governed by things like I lied to that person or I'm violating their trust.
Like if the daycare would say to the parents who are late, look, I've got to get home to my kids and I've got – they would be much more
– absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Triggers those social instincts. So now move this into the realm of God. You know, if you're looking at God as this really abstract philosophical entity – and you accidentally say, God damn it, when you hit your thumb with a hammer, you know, okay, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Not going to send cosmic ripples through the universe and undo anything. But if instead God is a person that has feelings and reacts to you.
Lies make baby Jesus cry.
Yeah. You've just insulted a person.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you could even
and all your social instincts that go with that kick in.
Maybe that's why religions have encouraged having an icon of the bloody Jesus on the cross as opposed to a more abstract thing because it does have the effect of lies make baby Jesus cry.
Yeah, if you just have a cross, it's abstract. If you have a crucifix with bloody Jesus on it, all of a sudden you got to look this guy in the eye and tell him what you did.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that when God's relationship or you have with God is viewed in terms of a social contract, then it's those rule violations are believed to be more harmful because you're violating a person relationship.
If only we could somehow get that mindset to work on the internet where that people would – rather than – oh, I'm making an abstract statement on a YouTube video and actually noticing that there are actual people there.
Yeah. Well, has anybody done a study? I don't know if they might have done this because it seems easy, of icons that show a libertarian flag or something like that to represent Joe Tea Party as opposed to a picture of a guy. And that looks like a real picture. That is, or here's the actual person. About, would you, like, be more polite to them?
Like people who use pictures of their adorable children or something as their avatar, are people going to be less willing to engage in horrible, insulting kinds of statements? Like,
yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Some of the other studies by Ariely suggest that a lot of financial shenanigans are made more possible by this abstract nature of credits and numbers on the computer and guys. Mm-hmm. And when they interviewed him, like, you just embezzled millions of dollars, to them it was just numbers
on
the computer.
It's just moving numbers. Yeah.
They would never do that if it was an actual stack of bills in front of them.
If you could see the people who were being harmed by the decisions.
Glover's book Humanity, A Moral History of the 21st Century, devotes several chapters to how much the casualties in wars, in World War II and other wars, increased when people were just – nobody cared about firebombing Dresden.
Right.
Nobody gave a shit about that.
And look at it
but
now that we have
they
drones.
Were not as will. Yeah. They were not as willing, you know, face to face. It's harder to kill a person.
You don't even have to be physically above them to drop a bomb on them now. It's we're just distancing further and further from the actual.
Some of the studies that Ariely did on cheating were that in some conditions he would have the actual bills and, you know, people could walk off with them or take extra money from the envelope. But when he substituted in poker chips that could then be exchanged for the money, people became less moral with the poker chips because he added that one step of abstractness there, that it wasn't real money you're walking off with. It's just a chip, and that the chip could later on be turned in for money. And that one step of the removal made people change their standards and become more lax.
Make it a Bitcoin and see what happens then.
Philosophy of religion, you know, bringing this back to the Euthyphro's dilemma. In philosophy of religion, when we are philosophically or rationally defending God, we always retreat into this philosopher's God. But I don't think people can consistently believe and follow with a passion. I mean, I might be a fool here, and I'm sure I'm going to get some people saying, I do worship the philosophical God. The temptation to anthropomorphize this deity is really, really high, even when that pushes us into weird contradictions, like having God who has this undifferentiated quality of abstract goodness, but then has all these human-like virtues.
Right.
That we stack onto that abstract
with these the Christian apologists that you often quote, I sometimes going through my mind is if you think that you have a tough audience because we're atheists, try going into just your average mundane working class Christian congregation and present some of your ideas that God has no standards of this and that and it's all that and see how they react to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just it's unintelligible because I'm a godless heathen.
Yeah.
It's unintelligible to the actual people who believe the stuff.
Right.
When you start trundling out these very abstract arguments.
As evidence to how quickly they switch their frames depending on the context.